Welcome to What's Eric Eating? Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. On this show, we're going to talk about some news in the world of restaurants, as well as meals at a couple of new restaurants that we think you'll want to know about. To do that, I'm joined by my co-host this week. She is a former commercial real estate developer and a marketing expert. Monica Dano, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm good, Eric. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for doing this.
Yes.
Let us dive right into the news of the week. Topic number one, Vibrant, the healthy eating restaurant in Montrose, has opened a second location in Memorial Park. It is located near the running complex, which is part of all these changes that have been going on at Memorial Park over the last several years. Monica, let me pitch this to you. I mean, what are your thoughts on Vibrant? I mean, this is a restaurant that opened several years ago. It's all the dishes are gluten-free, they're dairy-free. It's designed to suit a very wide range of specialized dining needs.
Yeah. Well, it's well timed. I was actually just last week at the Memorial Park 100th anniversary. They had a gala. And they kind of talked about this and all the changes they're making in the park. So excited to see that things like this are happening there. I did walk by it. Looks beautiful. I think that, you know, I've obviously been to the first location on Fairview, and it's a beautiful space. You know, I think that this sort of specialized, as you called it, cuisine is always good for, you know, a portion of an audience, you know, people that are kind of looking for that healthier option, whether it be for breakfast, dinner, or lunch. The couple of times I've been there, it's been more of kind of a casual coffee, and they do have some really interesting coffee. So I think Memorial Park's a good audience for them. I think that, you know, being by the running trail, obviously the people that are partaking in the activities that happen at Memorial Park are probably health conscious. So I think that's probably a good move for them.
Right. I think for years and years, the only restaurant that's been in Memorial Park is the Beck's Prime by the golf course. And, you know, I'm a Beck's Prime fan. I've been eating Beck's Prime for literally like 35
years. Our whole lives. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically since I was in seventh grade, but people do go to the park, especially to run, to jog those trails. And so they might not want a burger or a chicken sandwich. They might want something, you know, a little more nutritious, a little more
lighter,
fits
fair
in with whatever. Yeah. Lighter, whatever diet they're on. And so to have Vibrant in the park as an amenity just makes a ton of sense to me. And also I think about kind of that Washington corridor, or even kind of the eastern end of Tanglewood, neighborhoods like that. And, you know, there's, relatively speaking, not that many restaurants that kind of cater to that style of dining in the immediate area. And so I think if you live in that kind of extended Galleria area or east of Memorial Park, this might be a really nice addition for you, just apart from whether or not you are a runner or someone who's going to the park all the time.
Yeah, no, true. I think that, you know, we think about other large cities like Chicago and New York and San Francisco, their public parks are filled with restaurants like these. You know, I mean, you mentioned kind of Beck's Prime being really the only option inside the park for so long. I think this is probably a long time coming, you know, enjoy that outdoor space, you know, between the months of October and April outside. But no, I think it's really, again, more so than for Vibrant, I think for Memorial Park, having more of these dining options really kind of pushes Houston into this more like first class city where we have things we can enjoy, all the work they've done with the Eastern Glades, and really exciting to see how fast they're growing. But as far as Vibrant being there, I think it's a great fit. You know, like you said, it's already kind of gotten this reputation last, 4 years or so that it's been there. I can't remember what year it opened. It was right around COVID. I remember that.
Yeah, pre-pandemic for sure.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, I think that it's definitely something, like I mentioned, if I've got a girlfriend or someone that's like, hey, let's grab coffee, and maybe they live in Montrose, and I say, hey, let's pop to Vibrant. That's kind of when those kind of restaurants kind of pop out at me. I'm happy to see that they're opening a second location. I know sometimes some of these concept restaurants where, you know, the operator understands that there's a void in the city for something like this, and then you see them open and say, oh, well, it really didn't create that much of a void because it didn't last. I'm glad to see that they're still there. I'm glad to see that you know, that concept is still taking on that second location. You know, the more variety, the better.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on to topic number two. Blue Tuba, a new restaurant, is coming to the Heights probably in the next couple of weeks. It has claimed the former Herald space on 19th Street. They're serving what they call Eurotex cuisine, which is this kind of fun mashup of various European staples adapted to Texas. So, you know, escargot tacos made with what they call Slovak tortillas that are made with the potato flour, a take on fajitas with sausage that's in a crispy potato wrapper, and a Texas paella, basically jambalaya with crawfish. You know, Monica, this is such an interesting, almost unusual restaurant in a way. And I want to talk about that, but I want to sort of hark back to your commercial real estate days, because I talked to the owner, or one of the owners, Vlado Kalenic, and he said they had a lot of trouble finding a landlord that would take a chance on them, that every time they would get to the LOI stage or get ready to sign a lease, that the landlord would inevitably give it to someone else. He said they gave it to groups. Nobody wanted to take a chance on an unproven concept from a sole proprietor. So let me just ask you, I mean, you've worked with everybody. You've worked with, you know, High Hospitality, the company behind Ucci, to small independent. So how does from a landlord's perspective, how does a deal like this get done?
You know, it's interesting. I think that, you know, Houston says we like to support homegrown and local, and we absolutely do. You know, I see these pleas on Facebook all the time in my neighborhood and other neighborhood pages I'm on. I know you see them too, where it's like, hey guys, so and so is having a slow month. It'd be great if we could, you know, show them our love, right? And I think that's just, unfortunately, a lot of that's just market and demand. I think local versus kind of established, and I won't say national because there's obviously established Houston groups, right? They're always a better bet from a landlord perspective. I mean, obviously the landlord's pouring a bunch of money into something. They want to make sure that there's a better chance of it succeeding. You know, the developer that I used to work with at Revive, you know, was really keen on local groups and local chefs. I mean, we almost sought those out over groups. Because of the nature of the real estate that we developed, just being kind of adaptive reuse. But I will say, you know, a place like the Heights, I would think would be a place where kind of some of those homegrown places have thrived and grown their groups, right? I mean, you've got several restaurants that now have been around 10, 15 years in the Heights or on their third or fourth location. And there's just so many factors that go into if a restaurant's going to make it or not. And it's so hard to figure out what those factors are, right? I mean, a lot of its location, which we've talked about a lot on the show. You know, if it's a new concept like this, we were definitely skeptical, but I think that turns the conversation more into, you know, the landlord really getting in depth with the operator of let's talk about the food, who's in the kitchen running the kitchen, who's at the front running, you know, operations. We would make sure and delve into all of those things and not just what's the menu look like, right? Like we saw over, you know, 20 years of developing real estate for restaurants. What are all those factors that go into success? You know, if you've got a single operator, an owner operator that's like, yeah, I'm going to do it all. I'm going to be in there every day. I'm going to be in the back and be in the front. It's like, wait a second. That's not exactly the what we're looking for, you know? So I think with
Yeah,
a good
that's a
landlord,
path to burnout.
and I think with a good experienced landlord who knows about the neighborhoods and knows about you know, the spaces that they're curating, and really, you know, we called it curating. I mean, we wanted to make sure that space was right. I think with a second generation like this, it's a lot easier to pick a local operator maybe that doesn't have a lot of experience. The space is built out. There's not as many hurdles to permitting and raising capital for build out. So, you know, second demand spaces are all a second generation spaces, I should say, are always in high demand because of that fact. And I think with some of these, you know, newer, greener operators, it's a really good jumping off point for them to find an opportunity like this, and good for the landlord for you know, giving that a go.
Yeah, and of course the landlord is Ali Jarrett, who was the
Right.
operator of Harold's, and so has a sense of kind of what the neighborhood wants and what works in the neighborhood, and frankly, just the kind of business that she wants to be involved with and support. And I do think that that makes a difference. And I talked to Allie, briefly, because I basically just wanted to ask her, why did you take a chance on this couple whose names are, like I said, Vlado Kalenic and Giga, oh, this is tricky, Lezayova, I hope. Giga, if that's not it, I apologize. But why did you take a chance on, because they'd had a place in New York that they had done well with, but what sort of? And she said, well, I like that it's something different, and that, Giga has run restaurants in New York, and that she's got what Ali called the hospitality gene. And so that, with Vlado in the kitchen and Giga out front kind of managing the people, that she felt really confident that they could make a go of it. And so, that the menu is different, right? That they're going to do, like I said, they're going to do escargot tacos or schnitzel or octopus or whatever. I think, they're just going to need people to kind of give them a chance, I think, because I think if they can get them in the building, that the food will be pretty good. And the experience will leave you feeling good about where you've just dined.
Yeah, and I think especially for kind of first timer, like I just say first time Houston restaurateurs, obviously they have experience outside the city. Really, the best trait that an operator can have, in my opinion, is the humility to listen to the neighborhood and what they want. You may come out with an idea of what you're going to do, and it just bombs. And having the ability to be flexible and kind of focus around what are the dishes people are ordering. These are the things that people are asking for. Getting out in the dining room and talking to people and being able to adapt and be flexible with that concept, to some degree. I think that it's great to have a plan, and it's great to have a menu of what they're used to serving and what they're good at. But I think what's really important for restaurateurs in neighborhoods like the Heights or in Montrose is to just kind of throw it out there and see what sticks and, get a reputation of friendliness in the dining room and talking with patrons versus this kind of old school, I guess that's kind of died off now, but this old school, I'm a chef, this is the menu, this is what I'm going to serve. That's great. But if no one's coming in to buy that, then you've got a problem. So, my best advice to them would be that, stay true to what you're there to do, but listen to the neighborhood and adapt and really be flexible on what the public demand is asking for. People are always saying, oh, we want new variety, we want this. I mean, you see the posts like I see, right? It's like another pizza
Well,
place, another Texas.
right. No. I have a whole rant about this, right? That everybody on Facebook loves to say, oh, not another Tex-Mex place, not another pizzeria, not another steakhouse, not another burger, whatever, whatever. But now it's put up or shut up time, right?
That's
You say
right.
you want something different. You say you don't want a chain. You say you want locally owned. All right, well, here it is, right? These people have invested significant money to move to Houston, to open this restaurant, to do something different. They've dined around, they've met people, they have a perspective, a different perspective on the kind of food they want to serve and who they want to interact with. And now it's put up or shut up time. So if you're in that, if you've ever posted not another steakhouse, it's on you, right? It's
Right.
on you to go to Blue Tuba and check it out. And look, if you don't like it, fair enough. But you have to give it a shot. You have to put your money where your mouth is, I think.
Well, you're right. And there's staple places that you go to a couple nights a week. You could go to a couple nights a week. And then there's occasion places. You've got your Blue Dorn and most of your steakhouses I would put in that category. But it's like the comfort food for us, and other cities are probably different, but for us, it's pizza and Tex-Mex. Rather than trying to change people's ways and what they do, I think really restaurateurs have to kind of fit into that mode of, are we a neighborhood restaurant that people can come to once a week? Are we a special occasion restaurant? And those are different marketing strategies. Those are different menu strategies depending on the kind of place that you're building. I think people are always curious when you see something like this, like Euro Tex. Never seen that before, but I'm super intrigued. Initially, when I read that, I thought it kind of made me think of Riel and kind of Ukrainian, Canadian Gulf Coast, right? What Ryan's doing over there, obviously a different kind of concept, but that kind of East meets West. Interesting to me because it looks like, at least from the descriptions here, they're trying to stick with some Texas specialties, but with a twist, which I think is a good way to think about new versus just coming all out with something brand new that no one's ever had because people are curious. I think they'll go in, I think they'll try it. And you and I have had this conversation over the last couple of months or so. There's so many places opening that you kind of get one shot. You know, if you don't have a good experience the first time, there's another restaurant opening down the street next week. So I think that's a lot of pressure for operators these days is you just have less time to kind of get it right. I think in the past when there was less volume and traffic of new restaurant openings, you may give it a chance and say, oh, they just opened, maybe we'll come back again. But with the plethora of openings we've had in this city in the last 4 to 5 years, it's really changed that execution of we've got to be day one wow people.
Yeah, you know, the one other thing, first of all, I agree with all of that, right? That you've really got to come out of the gate firing on all cylinders. You don't get that grace period maybe that a restaurant would have gotten 5 or 10 years ago. But you know, the only other thing I want to say about this is that Vlado is apparently a pretty accomplished musician. He had some hits in Europe with a band. He said he never charted in America, but that he is the bass player on the recorded version of Somebody's Watching Me. And that he had a
Oh,
pretty good gig as
really?
a, yeah, he had a pretty
Interesting.
good gig as a session musician in both Los Angeles and like in Las Vegas. So he's going to play in the dining room, and live music is another thing that pops up in
Cool.
those Facebook groups from time to time. So, you know, once Vlado kind of gets the kitchen crew trained up and is running smoothly, then he can come out front and do a couple songs and keep people entertained. So again, I'll just say, I don't think I've ever met a restaurant quite like Vlado. And I do think, I do think we'll have to get him on the show at some point, but, I really enjoyed the conversation with Vlado and Giga. And I try not to get too emotionally invested in restaurants. Too many places that I've loved over the years have gone away, despite my enthusiasm for them. But this is just, it's so different, and it's such a fresh spin. I just hope people give this place a shot. That's really all it comes down to.
When are they supposed to be opening?
So early May, they were finalizing their last couple of permits, and then they have some training to do. But I think you know, ideally by Mother's Day weekend, you'll be able to have brunch or certainly dinner at Blue Tuba.
Cool. Well, good for them. Looking forward to checking it out.
All right, and then let's just do topic number three. A new cocktail bar is coming to Shady Acres. It is called Plume. It is from Ted Baker, the owner of bars like Penny Whistle Pub and Bobcat Teddy's, in partnership with Dan Braun and James Fitch, who are two of the principals in Braun Enterprises, a major real estate developer here in Houston. What's interesting to me about Plume is that it's kind of opening just off 20th Street, which is where all these like really big patio bars, sports bars, you know, places like McIntyre's are. And this is going to be smaller, you know, 3,000 square feet. It's going to be sort of cocktail focused. It's going to have a little food menu, but it's kind of the grown up hang in a place that's very much a kind of youth
Young
go-go
professional.
nightlife
Yeah.
district.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So, Monica, let me, I mean, this isn't exactly your neighborhood, but it's not far from your neighborhood. How do you feel about this? What do you think about the idea of opening a cocktail lounge in that part of Houston?
First of all, that place is so dense. I do spend a lot of time over there. I've got good friends that live in the area. And every time I drive down 19th or 20th or 21st, it's like, wow, there's a new place going up and there's so much density here and new townhomes going up and, just creating all that density, obviously. I compare Shady Acres a lot to kind of Midtown about 15 years ago. I actually lived in Midtown 15 years ago and it was like, some college graduates get out of school and get their first job and they want that three-story townhouse because they can afford it. Their density, it's near bars and nightlife. So it's no, no shock to me that this area that's not kind of deed restricted like the nearby kind of Heights and Oak Forest are has really exploded into this young professional and some retirees too. I mean, you see older people in those neighborhoods that maybe don't have kids and that are like to walk to things too. You know, I think a cocktail bar is probably a good mix here. I mean, you like you said, you've got these big patio bars like McIntyre's and Heights Social and Drift and these huge two-story, sometimes three-story spaces that entertain that are very similar to kind of a college bar atmosphere, right? I think those young professionals probably feel at home. But that really the height of that has been the last couple of years, even, you know, 10 years ago when people started moving to that area and they're growing up, right? I mean, you don't stay a young professional forever. I think that bringing in some maybe more sophisticated programming and, you know, a smaller kind of cocktail bar is not bad for that, you know, that off night that, you know, I'm not feeling McIntyre's or the Boot tonight. Let's go somewhere a little nicer and have a drink. I was at the Boot yesterday, by the way, packed. So yeah, I
Well,
think there's.
it is crawfish season. The boot will be packed right through the middle of June.
No, and so yeah, I think that's such an interesting area to me. I mean, being a kind of lifelong Garden Oaks, Oak Forest resident, I've kind of watched that area. It did not used to be a great part of town until, you know, some developers realized, wow, there's lots of land over here that we can densify. And you see it. I mean, you see all the construction going on up and down Durham and Shepherd. If you live where I live, you see it every day. Creating some walking paths, some bike paths on those north-south corridors, you know, spreading that kind of density across Shepherd and Durham. I think just much like the Heights probably 5 years ago when everyone's going, I can't imagine it growing anymore. And it just doesn't stop. You know, I mean that density of residential kind of high rises usually follows that burst of initial retail. So, you know, just kind of judging by seeing all that going up, I think that there's still room to grow in that little neighborhood. So I'm excited to check it out. You know, I know that I've been to Bobcat Teddy's, obviously I've been to Penny Whistle. So kind of a different feel than both of those. I would think cocktail bar is probably that the most elegant of those concepts. So we'll see how the operators do.
Yeah. I mean, I've known Ted from back when he opened Revelry on Richmond, and then he's done very well with both Penny Whistle and Bobcat Teddy's. He's a smart operator. I mean, he understands what people want. He's, we were just sort of talking about he's flexible enough to adapt to what they do. And then the other thing is this bar is located in a co-working space called Urban Office West Heights. And so, I think if nothing else, the occupants of that building will really like having a place that they can go for happy hour, that they don't have to drive to, right? Just gotta walk out of your little suite, walk down to the end of the hall, and boom, there you are. So I think, I'm intrigued by Plume. They say they're going to take some inspiration from kind of upscale cocktail lounges in Vegas, some places in New York. So I'm looking forward to kind of seeing what it looks like and what it feels like. But if the drinks are good and like you said, there's plenty of people that moved into that neighborhood when they were young professionals, and they've grown up, and they probably haven't left. So this could be just the trick for them, I think. All right, Monica, I'm going to say that does it for the news of the week. We'll be right back with our restaurants of the week. Stick around. Monica, for restaurants of the week, I want to talk to you about two new Mexican-inspired restaurants. Let's start with Little Ray. This is the casual taqueria from Ford Fry, who's the owner of Super Rica, La Lucha, and State of Grace. It is located on Mid Lane, just near Highland Village and River Oaks District. Monica, I know we've talked about Super Rica quite a bit over the years. I know you're a big fan of that restaurant. So you seem like the right person to talk about Little Ray. What did you think? How does it compare to Super Rica for you?
You know, I'm a big Ford Fry fan. That's no secret. I loved it. I loved Little Ray. I had been hearing about Little Ray for years. You know, we had talked to that group a long time ago about potentially bringing Little Ray to Houston. It exists in Atlanta, where a lot of other Ford's concepts started. I think I told you this when I text you, but I wish it was closer to me. I think, you know, for fast casual, you know, I'm typically not driving too far to go to counter service restaurant. I'm hoping that they'll expand this into other locations, other neighborhoods. I mean, I think that in the middle of River Oaks is an interesting choice for kind of counter service, but the product was incredible. They had just been open, what, 2 or 3 weeks. So, yeah, I didn't really know what to expect. I know that Bobby Matos, who's kind of the executive chef over a lot of Ford's restaurants, has been kind of talking this one up. And it really landed for me. I had several of the tacos. I think they're, you know, really known for the al carbon style. Had that beef. I had the pozole, which I'm a big fan of pozole. Get it everywhere I go if it's on the menu. It was excellent. It's a large space. You know, from the outside, you really can't tell. But we were there on a Friday night, and granted, it had just opened. There was nobody sitting on the inside, but the outside was packed. Really nice, beautiful patio area. Just kind of, you know, tucked right in between. What's that? River Oaks District,
It's
right
kind of
behind.
right, exactly. It's kind of across the street from Bosquet Kitchen and Le Peep.
Right, kind of between that and kind of a lot of the fancy shops and River Oaks. So, you know, like I said, I was hoping for the best, and it was really good. I tried, I think, four different tacos and the pozole, and just, you know, I think in general, Ford's restaurants are just so well thought out from a marketing perspective. Obviously, I'm a marketing person, so I notice those things. The branding is on point, you know, a lot of the menu design, those things come out to me in a form of experience that you're experiencing, not just, you know, kind of an inexperienced operator. It looks like it could have been there for 5 years, right? So it didn't feel to me like it was crisp and new. It felt like this is a place I'm going to go to. And again, it, being counter service, I don't know how often I would drive 20 minutes away from my house to eat counter service, but I'm glad I went, and I hope they do expand the concept to other neighborhoods.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot to like about this concept. And when I interviewed for it at the restaurant to kind of see the place, you know, he took me into the kitchen and they've built basically like a custom, it's a wood burning grill and kind of smoker that they do the chicken on. Because a regular smoker wouldn't get the skin crispy enough and a regular grill wouldn't get the chicken smoky enough. So they commissioned a custom piece of kitchen equipment. And that's sort of what you would expect from Ford Fry, right? Like he has a very specific kind of flavor that he wants this chicken to have. And chicken is really at the heart of what they do at Little Ray. And so like they built a piece of equipment to facilitate that. And there's a level of care in what they're doing, right? 'Cause you know, you think a fast casual taqueria, you think, oh, Torchy's Velvet, whatever. It's like, no. No, they're cooking the proteins from scratch. They're making the flour tortillas fresh. They're making their corn tortillas. Like, you know, they're all the little things that you would sort of expect. They have a salsa bar with I think about a half dozen different options. And like you, I mean, I went and ordered like four different tacos, right? A shrimp quesadilla, a carnitas taco on corn, and then, you know, it's the chicken al carbon is what they're kind of known for. So I got one of those, and then I got a steak, you know, a grilled steak taco just to kind of round it out. And, you know, everything's fresh, everything's juicy, everything's nicely prepared. I think there's a whole lot to like about this restaurant. And, you know, the tacos are, seven, $8, maybe a little more. If you get guacamole, you can get a margarita with it, you can get a beer with it. You know, the desserts are real limited. Right. There's basically soft serve ice cream and it's very family friendly. And when I talked to Ford, he's like, yeah, you know, if you bring the kids in and they leave a huge pile of chip crumbs around the table, like that's okay. We actually, that's kind of what we're going for. That's what we like. And then on the weekends, which I haven't had a chance to go to yet, they do breakfast tacos and then the Super Rica pancakes, which I think are some of the best pancakes anywhere in Houston. So more access to that is a good thing as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, I was very excited to try it out. I missed the friends and family opening because I was out of town, and glad I had a chance to go by last week. Definitely will be back if I'm in the neighborhood. Again, I think with counter service, it is important to cater to that neighborhood, like we talked about earlier. Not really a destination type place, at least, after the initial honeymoon phase kind of curiosity wears off. And that's really when I think about restaurants making it. It's like past that kind of initial curiosity, what's the everyday pattern of either day workers or residents in the area to really support that business on a regular basis. So see how that turns out. Definitely lots of options in the area that are not counter service. Lots of really nice restaurants, obviously, in River Oaks District and right around that area. So maybe a good kind of lunchtime option for a lot of office buildings around there.
Yeah, and there's a ton of obviously there's a ton of Tex-Mex that's opened in that part of the world. You and I talked about Mi Cocina a couple months ago that came there from Dallas. It's literally right around the corner. Cyclone Anaya's just opened their new location right down the street. Chuy's has been a staple for a long time. Ninfa's is across the freeway. But all of those are sit down, right? You have to tip at all of them. You got to wait for a server to bring you your food, all that kind of stuff, right? Little Ray, I think, sets itself apart by being fast casual, right? You order at the counter, the food comes out quickly, they bring it to you. I think all that, like, especially for families, I think all that makes sense. And then you go back to that chicken, right? You can get a whole chicken to go with tortillas and sides and all that stuff. And it's like it's a better food experience than say, going to a grocery store and getting a chicken, right? Like, yeah, it's a little more expensive, but it's also going to taste better. And I have this sort of vision of, all these families that live in that neighborhood hitting the to go, ordering in advance, picking it up to go, and then taking it home for dinner. I just feel like that's a winner. And like you, this is not in my neighborhood. And then like you, I sort of waited to go until I had a reason to be in that neighborhood to kind of go back and experience it without Ford in the building, without Bobby in the building, just to kind of see how it went. And I was very satisfied. I just, it reminds me a lot of Good Company Taqueria, which is a staple restaurant going back to childhood for me. And a place that, again, like when I'm in that, kind of upper Kirby West U area, it's like, oh, I could pop into Good Company Taqueria. I could get two soft tacos and a beer and have like a quick dinner or a late lunch or whatever. And I feel like I'm going to use Little Ray in kind of the same way, right? If I'm in the area, if I want something that's easy and relatively affordable, I can pop in there, I can get a couple tacos, and I can go on about my day. And I think, for all of those reasons, I think this is going to be a big hit for them.
Yeah, me too. I agree with that. Nice call on the cantina comparison. I agree.
All right. And then the other restaurant I want to talk to you about is Maximo. This is the new restaurant from Benji Lebet's Local Foods Group. It opened in the former El Topo space in West U. Tony Lerman, the chef at El Topo, is working with Benji Lebet and his team on Maximo. And so it's kind of a blend of the best parts of El Topo, really specifically those nixtamalized corn tortillas. The barbacoa taco that was always a big winner, and then essentially everything else is new, right? The decor is new. There's a whole bunch of new tacos on the menu. Even the burger, which was one of my favorite things about El Topo, has been reworked a little bit. So, Monica, let me just ask you. I mean, you and I ate at El Topo quite a bit over the years. We seem to have been some of the very few people to have really embraced that restaurant. But just, straight up, I mean, what do you like more, Maximo or El Topo?
Oh man, I knew you were gonna ask me that. I think it was a really nice transition. I think that with Tony there for the couple years that he was, obviously on the truck beforehand, gave it his best shot at really bringing that kind of unique Tex-Mex to that neighborhood. I think this is just kind of a natural progression of that concept, which I was happy to see. I was a little nervous that it was going to be all new, knowing that Tony was still involved. I had a feeling that some of his staples would be there. It was really cool to see Seth and Tony and it being kind of packed in there. I know Seth lives in the neighborhood. Tony's not far. It's kind of their stomping grounds together. We were there on a, I want to say Wednesday night, and there
Yeah,
was
we were
maybe
there
an
on a
hour.
Wednesday night.
It's like an hour wait. I mean, we had to wait quite a while, and people behind us were waiting. I mean, people were walking up at when we were leaving at 9:30, 10, asking if they were still serving. So, from again a real estate perspective and location, I was always a little concerned about that location. Obviously, Pizza Modus was there before Tony and El Topo. So, kind of watching that space change hands over the years, I think with a seasoned operator like Benji, I think again having the staffing and the kind of strategy and the resources to kind of lean into what is working there to make that space better and pair that with Tony's food that everyone clearly loves. I think it's going to be a great addition. I hope it stays there. I know that people in that neighborhood are craving, no pun intended, for something to stay there. But I was really impressed. I'll tell you again, I think it was a natural progression of Tony's cuisine into kind of a larger menu, a little bit more elevated. Tony's always been kind of small scale things because his tacos are great and the burger was great. I really liked what we had. You could taste El Topo in there, and you could also taste some kind of new flavors. I think the salads were incredible. I think we had two of the salads, and those were two of my favorite things that we had, which typically I don't pick the salad as my favorite dish, but really interesting creative combos in some of those flavors.
Right, just to be specific, I mean, we had this kind of fruit salad with watermelon and queso fresco, and I think it had a
Cucumber.
little bit of mint, but also like some chopped serrano. So it's like it's sweet from the watermelon, it's salty from the cheese, and then it's a little bit spicy, and you get different levels of those different components in each bite, which made it really, really easy to eat. And then we had a Caesar salad. Again, like it's a little bit. Again, had some chopped pepper in it to give it a little bit of heat, but still has the anchovies, still has the Parmesan, still has all the flavors that you want from a Caesar. And I thought that was really compelling. And the tacos have been reworked. I mean, Tony was doing a whole bunch of different tacos. Like I said, the barbacoa remains, but there's a tempura maitake that's on there now. There's a fish taco that's on there now. They've changed up the chicken a little bit. There's a sweet potato that we didn't have. But they all kind of make sense. And especially Berry Hill has kind of come and gone. There isn't a place that's kind of the obvious spot for a fish taco. And I like that Maximo is kind of planting a flag and saying, we want to be that place. We're gonna serve you a really great fish taco. The tempura batter is gluten-free. Obviously, the corn tortillas are gluten-free. So that's an element of hospitality, right? Extending, making that taco in such a way that, more people can eat it. And if you're not gluten-free, if you're gluten full, like I am, you'll never know, right? You'll never know that you're missing anything. Cause it's just crispy and delicious, and all the little toppings and sauces all come together really nicely. And those tortillas have always been great. And they're very dialed in right now. And so I liked everything that we tried at Maximo, and as much as I liked El Topo, Tony was trying to do a whole bunch of different things, right? He'd have, a seafood entree or a steak entree, and he was doing all this natural wine. And it's like that was cool and it was exciting in its way, but at the same time, like just give people what they want, right? Just give them tacos, give them a frozen margarita, give them simple cocktails, and just make them as delicious as possible. And with the interior upgrade, Brittany Vaughn, who worked with Benji on both Lee's Den and O'Tour, refresh that space. It looks great. I think that's all people in West U need, right? Is a little bit of style, an accessible menu. Again, relatively affordable. I think the tacos are, $7, $8. You can get two of them with two sides, I think, for 16. Which feels like a deal because the sides are all good, and just make it easy for people. And I think that's what they've done at Maximo. And I've been twice, and I've been sort of polling mutual friends who have been there, and everybody's just digging it. And it was exciting to go there on a Wednesday and see that they were on a wait, because that never happened at El Topo. They were never, that was
Yeah.
never that, that I never saw El Topo as full as we saw Maximo. And,
Same.
you know, they were like, oh, did you, it's like, they're not taking reservations, but they're like, did you, oh, did you, I didn't know you were coming. It's like, I didn't know that I had to tell you that we were going to come by for dinner on a Wednesday, because it's never been, it was never like this before. Right.
Yeah,
We
no.
just showed up and hung out and had a great time.
But it felt like, and obviously we've spent a lot of time there together and separately. It kind of felt like it had been there like a long time. Like even the new build out, and it's not drastically different than El Topo. Obviously, they've closed in that power, really built out that patio over the front, which it just felt good. The weather was kind of good. It was a little windy. It wasn't too cold. It wasn't too hot. The patio was buzzing. People were waiting and having drinks around. It just felt like a good experience there. I mean, food aside, the margaritas were good. The buzz inside was loud and fun, and I was excited for them. I was excited that Tony's still involved in the project, obviously. Really cool that Seth's consulting in lots of different ways. I think that the choices he's made kind of as a consultant in the restaurant industry and what he's decided to get involved in the last couple of places is really unique to me. So I'm glad he's involved. Obviously, he lives very close, knows what that neighborhood wants. So yeah, I'll go back again. That's I talked about kind of destination restaurants, and it's even further for me than Little Ray, but sitting on a patio having a margarita, full service, that's something I'll definitely go back and take people to.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, you know, this is actually a little bit closer for me than Little Ray. I like that it's and they're both open for lunch and dinner. They're both open every day, or at least I think Little Ray is open every day. I think Maximo will be once they kind of get their sea legs under them. But I like that I could do this for a casual lunch. I like that I could do this for an easy dinner. It's very approachable. You look at this menu, you understand exactly what they're doing. And they're having a little bit of fun with it, right? Like they're, you know, they're the smash burger, you know, is two all beef patties, special sauce, you know, lettuce and onions diced in a tossed in a special sauce, right? So, you know, you want to serve a burger that's inspired by the Big Mac. I'm here for that. I'm here for that barbacoa taco. I'm definitely here for that fish taco. And you know, we haven't even talked about the queso and the salsa and the campechana, all of which we ate and all of which we enjoyed. So yeah, I think there's a lot to like about this menu. And I think, again, I think this was, you know, having Benji Levitt's credibility involved will bring the neighborhood out. And just based on, you know, what we experienced at our dinner, they're checking it out and they're excited by it. And I think this is all good things.
They're rolling up in their golf carts.
Yeah, rolling up in their golf carts, coming by after Little League. You know, it felt very West U.
It really did in a way that I feel like El Topo didn't. I mean, I think that Tony had a big citywide draw just from his experience, with the truck at the farmers market. People would come from all over the city to go visit El Topo. I felt like this was much more of like almost everyone on the patio like lived within, a 2 block or radius. Not that that's, here or there, but I think it's a sign that it's kind of they've kind of nailed that neighborhood demographic.
Absolutely. All right. Anything else on either Little Ray or Maximo?
I gotta say, I think I preferred the El Topo burger to the new one, but I know you said you liked the new one better. I don't know what it was, but.
Well, I mean, I like them both. I mean, I did that El Topo burger was special, but I like what they're doing with the Maximo burger. I like that they're having a little fun with it.
Yeah,
And I like that I can get
it
it. I like that
was
I can get it with a frozen margarita, which you could not do in the El Topo days.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Good point.
All right, Monica, I'm going to say that does it for the restaurants of the week. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. It was fun.
That's it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening. Join me on Thursday when my guests will be Daniel Lee and Patrick Pham from Duck Stash Hospitality.